Listening Library presents Two Sides to Every Murder by Danielle Valentine. Read for you by Alex Fink, Hilary Huber, and Valerie Rose Lohman. June 13th, 2008, 7:17 p.m. Gia North's lungs ached as she tore through the trees. The woods pushed in around her, hiding the cabins and Camp Lost Lake Lodge from view. It felt like she was in the middle of nowhere. It's not too late. It can't be too late, she thought, willing her short legs to move faster. The muscles in her calves screamed. She leapt from the grass to the hard-packed earth of the trail. Her foot slipped out from beneath her. She felt a sharp crack through her chin and tasted dirt in her mouth before she even realized she'd fallen. It was the worst possible time to trip. She pushed herself off the ground, catching sight of her hands as she did. They were splayed in the dirt, and her fingers, her knuckles, her wrists, every inch of visible skin was covered in blood. Get up, she told herself, her voice ragged. Get up, Gia. She was tired and panicked and terrified, but lives depended on whether or not she found help. She stood. Gia, breathing hard, noticed her camera on the ground. It had fallen out of her pocket and skidded across the path. That camera was probably the most important possession she had right now. The police would want to see the footage she'd just taken. She needed to put it back in its hiding place where she could get to it later. She glanced over her shoulder into the woods she'd just run through. Did she have time for that? Making a quick decision, Gia snatched her camera off the ground and stuffed it back into her pocket, hurrying to her hiding place, past the trees and up the stairs to the camp director's office, stopping at the window. Hands shaking, she removed the faulty piece of trim no one but her knew about, pulled the camera out of her pocket, and stowed it in the little hole in the siding, then slid the trim back in place. She exhaled, relief flooding through her. There. At least that was done. She had started to turn back toward the stairs when she noticed something lying at her feet. It was the camp key card she'd been carrying around for the last 2 days. It must have also fallen out of her pocket when she pulled the camera out again. She leaned over to pick it up and froze. From where she was standing, she could see all the way across to the archery range. It was starting to get dark, but she could just make out the shapes of two figures standing in the field. She was about to lift her arms to call out to them for help, but something stopped her. Were they arguing? Gia squinted, trying to see who they were. That was the blonde hair and tall, broad-shouldered build of Jacob Knight, the camp's archery instructor. But she couldn't tell who the other person was. They were slender and shorter than Jacob. Probably a woman, Gia thought. But there was something wrong with her face. It looked misshapen, old, haggard, with green-tinted skin and long, stringy gray hair. And her eyes were black, sunken, surrounded by deeply lined, rubbery skin. Her nose long, hooked, covered in warts. A mask, Gia realized. The woman's face looked so messed up because she was wearing a mask. As Gia watched from her perch outside the office, the woman in the mask plucked an arrow out of the nearest target and lunged for Jacob, stabbing him through the throat. Jacob grabbed at the arrow protruding from his neck, blood spurting through his fingers. A spasm jerked through him. He fell to his knees in the dirt. A moment later, his body crumpled to the ground. Gia released a choked scream. She pressed her hands over her mouth to muffle the sound, but she was a beat too late. Her voice was already echoing through the woods. And now, the woman was lifting her head. She was looking right at Gia. No, Gia thought. She turned, grabbing for the office door. Her hands were shaking badly, still slick with blood, and it took her 2 tries to get the knob to turn. Before she could throw the door open, Gia glanced over her shoulder. The woman had picked up a bow from the ground and loaded an arrow. she aimed. The air whistled as the arrow flew, with perfect aim, at Gia's face.
Chapter 1. Olivia. I was 10 years old when I first heard the story of the Witch of Lost Lake. It was at Maeve Lewis's slumber party, of all places. That was the year Maeve decided she didn't like me, for reasons I never understood, despite putting a considerable amount of research into the subject. And I could tell something was up within minutes of getting to her house with my overnight bag. She kept shooting me sideways glances, smiling like we were good friends, which, by the way, we weren't. Even now, I feel a chill straight down my spine whenever I think about it. Maeve waited until we'd all gotten into our pajamas, a dozen tween girls in frozen sleeping bags. Then she'd loaded up this fake crackling fire clip on her iPad and told the story of the Camp Lost Lake murders.
The woods around here have been used as campgrounds for like 100 years, she'd said, looking right at me as she added, owned by the same family the whole time.
She was talking about my family, of course. Everyone knew the D'Angelis owned Camp Lost Lake. This used to be a badge of honor, or so I'm told. Years ago, the camp was beloved in our small town. Every local business had the words Home of Camp Lost Lake proudly printed on its signs, usually along with a Welcome Camp Lost Lakers banner that hung in its windows or doorway every summer. Once upon a time, the camp was a big moneymaker. Half the residents of Lost Lake, New York worked there, and nearly everyone attended for at least a year. It was most people's first job, their first night away from home, the place where they had their first crush. At least, that's what my older sister, Andy, told me. Andy's a lot older than me, so she actually got to go. But the camp's been closed since that night back in 2008. Now most of us only know anything about it because of stories like Maeve's.
Get to the story already,
my best friend Hazel Katz told her, and I shot her a small smile of thanks. Hazel's been my ride or die since we were in kindergarten. Even at 10, she didn't tolerate bullies.
Fine, Maeve said, rolling her eyes. So, there's this story that a witch lives out in the woods. The witch sleeps all day and only comes out at night. And if you happen to be in the woods after dark, she'll kidnap you to use in her spells.
At 10, we loved stuff like this. The other girls all squealed and covered their eyes. But I just swallowed. So far, this wasn't too bad.
So the witch is sort of like the boogeyman?
I asked.
Totally, Maeve said. Just like the boogeyman. People think the camp counselors made her up to keep the little kids from sneaking out at night. But then, 10 years ago...
Here, Maeve lowered her voice.
Those murders happened. And people say the woman who did it, Lori Knight, was wearing a witch's mask when she stabbed her husband through the neck.
No squeals this time. The group was dead silent. We were young, but most of us had already heard bits and pieces of the story from older siblings or friends. We knew all about how Lori Knight lost it and took on the Witch of Lost Lake persona, donning a cheap witch's mask and killing her cheating husband, Jacob, with his own bow and arrow. And when she saw that some nosy camp counselor, a teenager named Gia North, had been watching her, she killed her, too. At first, people thought those were the only two people she'd killed. Until they realized that Lori's son, 17-year-old Matthew Knight, was missing, too. Blood and signs of a struggle at the top of the lighthouse made most people assume he was pushed out the window and drowned in the lake below. But they never did find his body. 3 murders in just 1 night. This town hadn't seen anything like it before or since.
People say Lori became the Witch of Lost Lake that night,
Maeve continued.
They think she killed Gia because Gia was misbehaving. She was out in the woods.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?